everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Games tonight, there was a discussion whether it's worth the NFL film's music. Yes, we'll go to a deep cut of the NFL music. Although it is exhibition, so maybe we should go to a really deep cut of the NFL film music. Blackstone Gutierrez, Kaplan Page, let's go.
Take the drama out.
It's officially our technical difficulties music, that's what that is. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Danielle Jones, among the many making professional football exhibition debuts. Murray versus the Chargers. Haskins versus the Browns. I saw Washington had him as third on the depth chart. And Daniel Jones versus the Jets. Woody Page is the only panelist who has covered a preseason football game this year. That's what he told us yesterday, the one game. Who are you most interested in seeing, and what can we possibly learn from preseason game one?
Well, there's only one answer to that. It's got to be Murray. He got one the Heisman Trophy, played for Oklahoma, and succeeded Baker Mayfield. We got to find out. The elephant in the stadium, Tony, is his height. Is that going to be okay? Is he going to be more like Lamar Jackson or Mayfield? Is he going to be able to get up against first-string defenses? Those other guys you're talking about are big play. They're playing against guys who'll be on the street in a couple of weeks. So I want to see Murray and see what he can do when he doesn't have a great deal of offensive talent around.
Murray, present. Emily Kaplan, how about you?
Preseason football stinks, but from a pure entertainment standpoint, give me Daniel Jones. This is the guy whose GM Dave Gettleman has been so bullish about. Meanwhile, the fans and outsiders have been so overwhelmingly skeptical about. And you know what? They might be. He's been terribly inaccurate in his time, not terribly accurate his time at Duke University. And in his first game, he goes up against Greg Williams, a defensive coordinator who's a maniac, brings all these different pressures. And of course, he's not going to show everything. They play in the regular season, but he's going to show something.
Okay.
It's going to be entertaining, and the back pages are going to be great tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez.
Emily, you and Dave Gettleman are the only two people on this planet who have ever said, give me Daniel Jones. I instead will take Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, that is brutal, but good.
Easily.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I understand that Haskins is probably not going to start. Case Keenum's going to start, and he's not going to play against first-teamers. But if Dwayne Haskins looks good, all the fans in Washington are going to get riled up. This is Jay Gruden's essentially third quarterback that he's going to get to work with, and he didn't really succeed with the first two. And he's got Colt McCoy as a starter, and he's comfortable under Jay Gruden's office. So if Jay Gruden goes with Colt McCoy and they fail, you've got this star potentially sitting behind him, and that's not great either. So there's just a lot of reasons to watch Washington and watch whether that head coach stays. I know it's not going to get fired after one preseason game, but you got to keep your eyes on Haskins because that's the future.
And do I even need to ask the man in Washington, Kevin
Blackstone?
All right, fine. Just tell us.
Of course, it's all about Dwayne Haskins Jr. The first round draft pick right down here, quarterback number 26 or 27 since Mark Rippon won a Super Bowl here in 1992.
Sure, yeah.
They went through four starting quarterbacks last year. So everybody around here will wait. We'll have our alerts on our phones. Okay, he's in now. Now we'll watch the game.
Let me ask you this. Do you read anything into him being the third quarterback in the depth chart? Does that mean anything going into a preseason game?
Yeah, this is what it means. Squad douche. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. Nothing. I believe I came up with the word. All right. How about Kyler Murray, though? Israel, can you address Murray, the number one quarterback in the draft, coming out for his first preseason game? Could anything happen tonight that makes you think either way, wow, or uh-oh?
Well, number one quarterbacks are always exciting to watch, right? But then you throw in the fact that he's got this new coach and he's got this supposedly exciting offense that's built for him, and that's going to make him even more exciting. But if he looks like a college player in a pro game, then you're going to say to yourself, I don't know if he'll ever grow out of that, literally. And so it can be discouraging if he doesn't have a good first game, a good first few games, because then Cards fans are going to be like, well, he's not going to grow, so what's the problem? So what's going to benefit us here?
Well, this is the evening of overreaction. You know we're all going to do it. We're going to scrutinize his drop back. We're going to scrutinize his handoff. We're going to scrutinize every completed pass and every incomplete, and it's all going to be his fault or to his advantage. So, yeah, this is overreaction
and
night.
And Woody Page?
Yes, and all three of you are going to watch Kyler Murray to begin with tonight because he'll be out of the game, and we can move on to other events. Even Emily can go watch an off-season hockey match and watch Kyler Murray. I don't think it makes any sense.
Bo, I go to you for not making sense. There we go. Thank you very much, Woody Page. Let's move on and make some sense out of this discussion I heard on Get Up this morning. Here's Mike Tenenbaum talking about the possibility the XFL can make a run at Trevor Lawrence next year, the year before the NFL can. Take a listen.
What an unbelievable opportunity if you're Oliver Luck, the head of the XFL, and Vince McMahon, the owner of the XFL, to say, hey, we're going to take the most transcendent college football player and put him in front of our league. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but those are the discussions they're having. And because of that three-year rule, Greeny, it's an opportunity.
All right, an opportunity. The XFL might make a run at Trevor Lawrence. Israel, you see that within the realm of possibility?
I do not see that within the realm of possibility. The only potential situation there is if Trevor Lawrence says, okay, for one season, you throw the entire bank at me, I will risk playing for your league for one season. But do you believe that Trevor Lawrence, who won a national championship as a freshman, who's even bulked up and looks like a prototype quarterback, looks like the future star of the NFL, is going to say after that 1 year, yeah, I'll stick with the XFL. No, this is something that maybe they can sort of just bring their name up just in discussions with Trevor Lawrence, but the actual possibility that that's going to happen, I'd say,
Slim. Like Kaplan, you think it's within the realm of possibility?
No. One of the many reasons the AAF failed is that they wanted to be a developmental league for the NFL, and the NFL wanted nothing to do with them. Mm. The XFL wants to be its own entity, and that means that they need stars. So, of course, they should go after Trevor Lawrence. It makes no sense for Trevor Lawrence to go after them. It's a huge risk. He's got a great situation at Clemson. They're the number one team. He brings back all of his weapons, and he knows the projected money and fame and endorsements that he can make in the NFL. Kyler Murray is making nearly $9 million average in his rookie deal. That's what Trevor Lawrence can expect. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Blackstone?
Hold up here. Let me get this straight. Trevor Lawrence plays at Clemson for Squadouche. That's Tony's
yes,
word.
Yes, yes.
But somebody might give him a sack of $30 million to play for them for, let's say, 1 year. So, of course, and not only that, this is all about marketing. Why wouldn't they try and do this? We've seen this before. When the ABA started up against the NBA, they went out and tried to draft some of the biggest stars in college basketball. Jimmy Walker, Jalen Rose's dad, I think, was their very first draft pick. He didn't go there. But, you know, this is what you do to get attention. So this
well,
is
that's
very
the point,
much
right? And, Woody, I'll bring you in here. I mean, the USFL is an example here. They threw huge money at huge stars. Herschel Walker, Jim Kelly, do you believe the XFL might make the same run at Trevor Lawrence?
It would be ludicrous if they didn't. I mean, the WWE, which is the basis for all this, is about publicity and promotion and spending a lot of money for top-flight wrestlers. Vince McMahon had proved before that he's willing to spend the money. They already have network deals. I'm sure that if they were able to get Lawrence, you don't think ESPN or Fox would add on another $30, $40 million? You mentioned Jim Kelly. What about Steve Young, who got the biggest salary in the
Steve
history
Young,
of
Doug
the
Flute. There's a lot.
I go back to the AFL when they went out and got Joe Namath and paid him $400,000, which was a ransom, if you would, and that made a difference. They won a Super Bowl. They got people to acknowledge that the league was actually real and could compete.
History, you want a last word on this?
Yeah, well, this really comes down to Trevor Lawrence and what kind of thinker is. Is he the type that wants to go outside the box and say, hey, I'll take these $30 million and you guys want to gamble on me for 1 year, that's fine. Or is he a guy that just wants to pursue his traditional NFL dreams, which he seems to be on pace for? They could go after another big name and still make a big splash and have to pay that person way less. The Trevor Lawrence situation just doesn't seem realistic. Mm-hmm.
We're going to move on. I want to have a conversation about Trevor Lawrence's program right now. Clemson, all right? Kelly Bryant, starting quarterback for Clemson, 4 games last year, was demoted, transferred, and then you know Trevor Lawrence took over, yada, 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 White House Big Macs. Well, Dabo Sweeney was talking this week, being asked if Bryant got a Clemson championship ring, and Sweeney responded, no, he wasn't on that team. You got to be on the team to get a ring. How do you hear that, KB?
But didn't you just tell me he was on the team at the start of last year and won 4 games? Yes. Not only that, he was a 16-2 as a starter over the time he was there. I don't really understand this. I mean, what's a ring from all the money that Dabo Sweeney makes as coach of the Clemson Tigers? And acknowledging the fact that this kid was there, he waited his time behind Deshaun, he was in practices, he didn't do anything to upset the apple cart. I've talked to some former athletes at Clemson who said the real deal here is the fact that he didn't fit into the all football, all the time culture at Clemson, that he was involved in a black fraternity, that he was involved, he went to the sit-ins that students had there at Clemson a few years ago. That's what's really behind this, I think. Give the guy a ring. Make yourself
look good. You talk to former Clemson athletes, current Clemson athletes?
Former who were there.
And it makes me wonder,
was
he the only Clemson athlete who was in sit-ins or not? I don't know about that. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I just hear it from a strictly sports perspective, and I believe that, yes, he wasn't on the team, not because of an injury, not because of any sort of situation with school to focus on grades. It's because he got demoted and chose to change teams. And so being all part of the team, I don't know about all the off-field stuff, but being part of the team literally means being part of the team. It literally means being accepting a demotion if you believe that, you know, the person is possibly better than you. He left the team, doesn't really need a ring. Like, what is he going to do? Like, flaunt it around and say, hey, I played the first 4 games? I don't really think it means that much to him either. I just think not part of the team, left the team, doesn't get a chance.
Emily Kaplan?
Look, NCAA players get very little power. One of the few things that they do have power over is to use this transfer rule and conserve their eligibility, and that's what Kelly Bryant did. He chose to leave, and that sacrificed not being on the team. And Tone, I know you hate when we bring up other sports as comparisons, but I'm a rookie. I'm going to do it anyway. In hockey, to get your name on the Stanley Cup, you need to play in 41 games. That's half the regular season, or at least one final game, or the team can protest at your discretion. Kelly Bryant played in a quarter of the games, no postseason games, and the coach isn't protesting his discretion. I just don't understand the point here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I'm going to allow that, changing over the sports for analogy.
There you go.
Woody Page, how about you?
Well, let's just start with the NHL's wrong. If a guy played for 30 games, he should get his name. There's thousands of names on that trophy. But in regard to this, based on your opinion there, Israel, so if a guy got on a championship season in 1992 for Alabama, if he got 4 touches and no touches in the championship game, he's more deserving than a guy that started the season 4-0. Dabo Sweeney was on that team.
Listen to Woody Page here.
Do you think when he was recruiting Bryant, he said, come to Clemson, you'll get to be a starter, you'll win multiple championship rings, and now he's going, no, you don't get one. That makes no sense.
Never quit the team. You just quit being good. You still get a ring if you're in uniform.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Woody Page. Yes, I mean, maybe we'll look to see if Dabo Sweeney was on the field for that championship team, but you said he had no touches, and he had 4 catches, but he was still part of the team. It's interesting. But you did the research here.
He wasn't part of the team.
Well, sure he was.
What part of the team was he?
That's what I mean. Backups are part of the team. Guy who carries clipboards, part of the team. Buy or sell is next.
One guy wins 4 games, one guy has 4 catches.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The golf playoff is underway. Northern Trust is the first tournament in it. Tiger Woods this morning. No gallery because storms delayed fans' entrance. He shot a 4 over and he is way back. What to buy, what to sell, Woody Page?
That he's not ready to play again. I mean, he really hasn't played much at all since he won the Masters, and his back is continuing to bother him. That's got to be troubling for him as he tries to move forward. And he does qualify for the next by just showing up, but he won't get probably to the finals and have a chance to repeat. I just think it's a bad sign for him.
Yeah, I'm selling the fact that he's playing at all. After he missed the cut in Port Rush, he said, I just need some time to get away with it, so get away from it. So he went home to Florida, he got back. Now he plays like this in warmer weather where he's supposed to play better. He's 43, four back surgeries in the last 5 years. He needs to listen to his own advice, not take 3 weeks off, actually take time off.
40 years?
I mean, as a 42-year-old with my own back problems, I know they just keep coming back.
Oh, sure.
And so the Tiger's
sure,
almost yeah. like, I'm with you, Emily. He needs to pick certainly a time of year where he's going to peak. For Tiger, it's almost always going to be the Masters. This year, he accomplished that. That means this year is a success. Next year, he's going to have to probably do a lot of the same things, and you'll see a lot of the same back problems coming up.
Kevin Black is done.
Yeah, I'm buying that we should be accustomed to this from Tiger now. I mean, he's coming back from all of this that everyone just laid out. It's tournament to tournament at this point in his career. Sometimes we're going to be glued in on Sundays, and sometimes he's just not going to make the cut for whatever reason.
Sometimes he rocks slow, sometimes he rocks quick. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Just a disagreement. We're keeping it in-house, and it's private. Orioles manager Brandon Hyde and Chris Davis had to be separated after Hyde lifted Davis mid-game last night. What to buy, what to sell, Emily?
I'm buying the fact that this is not that big of a deal. It does happen. Buck Showalter used to get into it with his players. Earl Weaver once was throwing equipment back and forth with a player. But I'm selling that all is okay with the Orioles. They've let the Yankees have a record amount of home runs against them. They still have four games to go. This feels like a rookie manager to me losing control of his clubhouse with a lot of veterans.
Gutierrez.
Well, their record tells me there's something wrong with the Orioles, but I think with Davis here, the last couple of years basically just coming to a boil here because obviously you don't know what was said. It couldn't have been that bad, but losing and his personal struggles just creates these frustrating situations. I don't think there's much to it, but you could almost see this.
Black Stone.
Yeah, I mean, if you've watched the Orioles for the last who knows how long now, this is just not a microcosm of what they're going through, but this is macro, right? And finally, with all the struggles that Davis has had at the plate, the front office problems, the managerial problems, the pitching problems, there you have it.
Woody Page.
Kevin, we're not watching the Orioles, just you. But in regard to, I would cut Davis tomorrow. I mean, in 2016, when they gave him $161 million, he should be thankful that he's in the dugout. He should be down on his knees thanking the manager for putting him in the game after he struck out 110 times. Release him.
Yeah.
Pay him everything.
All right, and just eat the salary. No big deal. You know, a couple dozen million here, you know, a couple more years there. I like your blackest stone. This is a microcosm. This is the whole cosm. We'll move on. Virus Cell 3, the Field of Dreams field for a real live Major League Baseball game. I love this story. It's happening, people. White Sox Yankees next August in Iowa. Young people, this was a movie from 1989 about baseball, time travel, and carnivorous cornfields. MLB building out a new field and stadium adjacent to the original Field of Dreams. Crowd capacity is going to be 8,000. You're going to buy or sell here, Israel?
I mean, I buy it. I like the idea, but I want the original field. I want the corn in the outfield.
Yeah, yeah.
I want no ground rules. No ground rules. So you have to go in it to get the ball, and who knows where you go when you do that.
Blackstone?
Yeah, absolutely. I want people disappearing into that cornfield, right? I want all that magical stuff that happened in the movie to be there. I want the old-timey gloves. I want an announcer with an old-timey voice. That's what I want.
The old field is, what, 280 to left, 260 to right, 314 to center. Can Aaron Judge play in that ballpark? Woody Page.
Wind's blowing in.
You better hope the corn.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Woody.
I want to play on a field where the lines are 280. I want to see Shoeless Joe Jackson come out of the corn. I want to see balls into the corn in a ground rule doubles. I want to see everybody's father show up. I want to be able to cry as I've done when I've gone to it, when I've seen the movies. It's a great
Emily
idea.
Kaplan.
I'm buying that this is really cool, but I do find it a bit ironic because Iowa is a state that routinely gets screwed over by MLB's blackout restrictions. So if they build it, I hope that they're going to be able to watch it.
Oh, all right. I see what you did there.
Too late.
It's not going to be enough to get you. It'll help your season points per game average. How about that, Emily? All right. Kaplan, Gutierrez is going to watch Woody Page and Kevin Blackstone. Microcosm, macrocosm, the whole cosm. Cosmo Kramer. Showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone, good luck in Showdown. Showdown 1. The audience participation in Brewers Pirates last night in Pittsburgh. The first fan catching a Brewers home run and tossing it into the Allegheny. The second fan catching a Pirates home run over the Milwaukee outfielder. And then there was some taunting of said outfielder among he and his friends. And the two fans hung out later in the game. The friends they made along the way. How great is this, Woody?
I love the kid who threw it in the water. The guy thinks he's got a career in the major leagues as a left-handed pitcher that he can once get to Cleveland or Cincinnati and just throw it in the water after the game.
Is that a Trevor Bauer reference? Okay.
Exactly. Right. There you go. I like both of them. I like the fact they got together at the end, but I've got to throw a red flag because the kid doing the Mutombo thing didn't catch the ball. You got to catch the ball, and then you can taunt the outfielder if you want to.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No ball, no
taunt. I'll allow it.
Point for each. We'll move on. Showdown 2. What? Kirk Cousins' number one concern with his new rookie center.
Well, I'm going to take it back to how much he sweats again. He promises that it's not a problem in games. And it remains to be seen because his shorts today were soaked. So that's a big thing I'm going to take away from Friday night is how tough was it to grip the ball after he snaps it to me. And he said it's not a problem on game day. So the moment of truth, Friday night.
Oh, boy, KB. Should Kirk be concerned about sweaty butt? You like that? You like that? This is already laying excuses for the season. When he throws some incompletions or has a pass picked, he's going to blame it on this guy who sweat too much on his hands. That's too much information for me.
Kevin, what you don't understand here is all he's got to do is put a towel on the center's behind and he won't have a problem. But secondly, they play inside. It's not going to be a problem. It'll be 68 degrees for every game.
I'm putting it. Statue of Limitations is over on you like that. You like that, Kevin Blackstone. I do not like that. FaceTime, Woody Page.
I'm so happy to have this opportunity to clarify something that was talked about on the show earlier.
Oh, that's nice.
Dabo Sweeney playing in 1992 for Alabama. He actually, after research that we did, Caroline, that we found him on a kickoff team. He didn't touch anybody, but he did congratulate his teammate who made the tackle.
Okay.
So, Dabo, you did deserve your ring, just as Brian deserves his ring now. And that's the end of it.
Incredible research by Caroline Ouellette, our researcher. An Alabama grad, by the way. 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow.